You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hopefully you enjoyed a long 4th of July Independence Day weekend here to the listeners in the United States. And today's Tuesday the 6th. Going to talk a little bit about the upcoming NBA Finals, I guess the close of the Eastern Conference Finals that happened over the weekend, which feels like a while ago now. But we'll talk about that briefly. I also want to get into just a little bit of debate over Damian Lillard and the idea of the Timberwolves going after him in trade. There's no indication that the Timberwolves are actively poking around to find out if Lillard is available, which I would imagine that he is on some level at this point, given his apparent level of discontent in Portland. But there are all these, you know, could the Timberwolves trade for Lillard? Should they? What would they have to give up? Kind of articles popping up around the NBA blogosphere. So I wanted to address that, give my take on what a potential trade for Damian Lillard should look like, and basically all in one kind of talk about whether or not I would pursue such a trade, because obviously there's a hefty price to be paid to acquire a true superstar like Damian Lillard. But there's a couple of pieces out there that try and parse what the Wolves would give up in such a trade. And that's what I want to kind of key in on. So I'll spend most of the show doing that. Actually, there's not really any other new Timberwolves news out there. Of course, late last week, the news came down that the district court judge in the Twin Cities had ruled in the favor of Glenn Taylor, and that the ownership, or the pending ownership transaction to sell the team to the group led by Mark Laurie and Alex Rodriguez could proceed. And I believe the next step now is the NBA Board of Governors. No real news on that front otherwise. Talked about that on Friday's show, but that was a late last week development involving the Wolves. And I would imagine we'll start to see and hear more from Laurie and Rodriguez in the coming weeks. So that'll be something to keep an eye on. And of course, the draft is only a couple weeks away, so we'll have to keep an eye on whether or not the Wolves can acquire a pick. But in the meantime, it's kind of speculation season. And so I want to do that a little bit with Lillard here on the show today. And it's fun, however pie in the sky it might be, it's a fun and necessary conversation to have. So we'll get into that here in just a moment. A quick reminder here off the top, you can follow this podcast anywhere you listen to podcasts. That includes Apple, Google, Spotify, and of course the all new Odyssey app. That's Odyssey spelled A-U-D-A-C-Y. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves and at B Beacon. That's B Beacon, two B's, two E's, C-K. Ian. Okay, let's go ahead and jump into the Lillard thing. So the quick backstory, obviously, unless you've been under a rock for the past few weeks, is that Lillard is understandably unhappy with the parade of early exits in the playoffs for the Blazers in his now 9 years in the NBA, which is crazy. I mean, he's made the playoffs every single season, I believe, except for his rookie year. He's been in the playoffs every year. And he has only been to the Western Conference Finals once. That was actually just 2 years ago, when they got swept by the Warriors 2 years ago. But now back-to-back first round exits. They have only advanced the second round four times in his eight trips to the playoffs, if I'm counting that correct. Yeah, four times in his eight trips to the playoffs, and the one time to the Western Conference Finals, never to the finals. Now Terry Stotts was fired or was let go after the season, and so that was the one big change. Lillard, of course, went public with his preference for coach. That didn't happen. They end up with Chauncey Billups, first-time head coach, and the process there seemed a bit rocky. Certainly, the circumstances surrounding it were a bit odd. There was a strange press conference. There's some questions about how that's all going to go down, and also kind of some mixed reports about Lillard's thoughts about Billups as a coach. So that's kind of the backstory. There's really, and the crazy thing is Lillard's always been very loyal to Portland and talked about how it's his city and he wants to be there, even recently. But there's some real reason to think that he's genuinely unhappy. Now, from a contract perspective, and this obviously really matters when we start to talk trade, he just re-upped and signed an extension prior to the 1920 season, which was the COVID-shortened season. So he's got 4 years left on his deal, and it's a supermax. He's paid $43.75 million this year, so basically $44 million. It goes all the way up to $54.25 million in the 24-25 season. So we're talking 4 more years on the deal, a supermax contract. So there's no real leverage from his perspective. This would be similar, but Towns has 3 years left on his deal, and it's his first large extension, not his second. This is Lillard's second extension. He's, of course, a couple years in the league longer than Towns. So the only way this happens here is if the Blazers are okay with a partial reset and want to time that up with their new coach instead of kind of having some sort of a lame duck year or two with Lillard and maybe tainting their new coach and needed to make a change there sooner rather than later. So that's really the only real motivation. And I liken this a little bit to the Towns situation in that Lillard has wanted to be there and is under contract, et cetera. He's a superstar who can win on his own. And it, certainly in Lillard's case, has won on his own. He's obviously had more success than Towns from a team perspective. There's no arguing that. The difference is that Lillard is now starting to show those signs of discontent, whereas Towns, there might've been some of those rumors last offseason prior, even towards the end of the previous season. But more recently, like at the end of the season, the exit process basically from the 2021 season, Towns reiterated in the media he wants to be in Minneapolis. He wants to have a career like Tim Duncan or Kobe Bryant is what he said. He wants to be in one city. Now, we can wait and see how serious he is. I would imagine if this year gets off to a rough start, that tune could change a little bit. But sitting here today, Towns wants to be in Minnesota. And a few months ago, I should say, we would have said the same thing about Lillard. So how serious is this all of a sudden, you know, Dame wants out of Portland? Not 100% sure, but there is a little bit of smoke there's a little bit of fire where there is smoke. I think that's certainly true. So what I want to do next is talk about the structure of a potential deal and kind of dive into that a little bit, talk about one of the fake trade ideas that is out there. So we'll do that here next. Before we get to all that though, let's talk about the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. I'm going to cheat on this one a little bit because there's a pair of players that I want to recognize that both play for the Milwaukee Bucks. So Giannis, of course, missed the last couple of games for Milwaukee. And there were a pair of Bucks players who really stepped up. And a lot of the attention after the Game 6 victory, which I'm going to talk about a little later in the show, rightfully went to Chris Middleton. He had a stretch. I think he scored 13 straight points at one point. He had 32 points, 7 assists in Game 6. But Jrue Holiday was arguably the legit second star that the Bucks needed here because of his two-way. And Middleton, you know, is a solid defender as well. But Holiday's two-way play over the last couple of games, the way he stepped up in the scoring column as well as the assist column and defensively. Going back a couple of games against, this is Hawks, Hawks-Bucks, of course, game 5, right after Giannis got hurt. He steps up and has 25 and 13. Holiday does. He shoots 45% for the field, 3 of 8 from three. And then game 6, when they clinched the series, 27 and 9, plus 9 rebounds, 4 steals, 2 blocks, and shoots 48% for the field, 4 of 12 on threes. That's Holiday. Chris Middleton, 32 points in game 6, 7 assists, 4 rebounds, 4 of 10 from three, 45% for the field. And the game prior to that, in the game 5 victory, he had 26, 13 rebounds and 8 assists, 2 steals and a block. 50%, 10 to 20 from the field. So both of those guys stepped up. And against a Trae Young-less Hawks team, at least in game five, but game 6, even though Trae Young wasn't quite himself, no Giannis, this was important to put this thing away without letting it go to a game 7 and potentially letting Trae Young, you know, heal a little bit more, be more effective, etc. The fact that both of these guys, Holiday and Middleton, came together sans Giannis Antetokounmpo and brought the Bucks to victory, the way that they did it as well, that's what Michelob Ultra is all about. It's the joy, it's the happiness, it's all that. And we saw it from both Jrue Holiday and Chris Middleton. Remember, Michelob Ultra would remind you it's only worth it if you enjoy it at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. Joy creates success. Enjoyment isn't the end game, it's the whole game. And the Milwaukee Bucks are having success and they're having fun. Going to the finals for the first time in, I don't know, almost 50 years. 74 was when Milwaukee last went to the finals. So we're seeing that in Milwaukee. We're seeing that with Middleton and Jrue Holiday. So Jrue Holiday, Chris Middleton are this week's Michelob Ultra Players of the Week. All right, let's get back to talking about Damian Lillard. So we've established why Lillard's on the market. Let's next talk about one of the fake trades that's out there. This is a Bleacher Report article, as it usually is. This is Zach Buckley, who does, I don't know, probably once a week this offseason, we're going to talk about a Zach Buckley fake trade and break it down. I think he largely does a very good job with these. This is just a number of big name guys who could be on the market. This includes Lillard. He's got Ben Simmons, Kemba Walker, et cetera, in this article. So the Lillard bit, he's got Lillard going to Minnesota. Obviously Simmons is probably the more likely trade target. He's not going to cost as much in terms of acquisition. His window, his timeline matchup better with Towns, the contract, the defensive nature of his game, all those things. Lower usage on offense if the Wolves are going to keep either Russell or Malik Beasley and Anthony Edwards. The low usage makes some more sense. Actually, I'll get back into that here in a second when I talk about Lillard's fit. But here's the potential trade. This is, again, this is completely fake as far as I'm concerned, and just not a real rumor, but a potential package the Timberwolves could offer, according to Greg Swartz, or excuse me, Zach Buckley at Bleacher Report. Buckley has the Timberwolves giving up, well, he has them getting Damian Lillard and Robert Covington. So a nice reunion with Rocco. The Wolves would give up in this trade Anthony Edwards, Malik Beasley, Ricky Rubio, Leandro Bolmaro, a top five protected pick in 22, a top three protected pick in 24, and a 26 first round pick. So we're talking three first round picks, their number one or two trade asset in Anthony Edwards, probably their next best trade asset in Malik Beasley, and very likely their next best trade asset in Leandro Bolmaro, all for Damian Lillard. So, to be inescapably clear, Damian Lillard is a bona fide superstar, tier one, tier 1A, however you want to put it, superstar. He's not just another all-star. He's better than Ben Simmons. He's better than Bradley Beal at this stage in everybody's career. He is. He's probably certainly a top 10 player in the league. He was an MVP candidate this year. The only players that you'd for sure say you would take over him in a vacuum would be what? Giannis, probably still LeBron, Kevin Durant, probably a healthy Steph Curry. You could argue about Jokic and Embiid, but he's somewhere in that 5 to 9 range in terms of the league's best players. I think it's pretty clear. So this would be the requisite price for a superstar. It's hard to argue against this asking price if this would be Portland's asking price. Now, the next question is, what are the pros and cons to making a deal like this? Well, the obvious pro is the Wolves would end up with two, certainly top 20 players, depending on how you feel about Towns, top 15 players. And one of the recipes to at least making the conference finals is having a top 10 guy and another top 20 guy. I mean, that's a pretty strong recipe. Now, we could, the Bucks haven't exactly done that. I don't think I'd put Holiday or Middleton in the top 20 in terms of players. I don't know that I'd do that with anybody on the Hawks either. I think Trae Young is probably a top 20 guy, but that team is more about how well-rounded they were around him and how well the pieces match. But I mean, you could say that in Phoenix. I mean, Booker and Paul are both top 20 guys now. Ayton's actually not all that far away at this stage. And the Clippers obviously have two top 20 guys in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard. So it's certainly not foolproof, because we see teams that had two top 20 guys and didn't get that far, but it's a way to guarantee that you're going to be in the conversation in the conference finals. I actually think this is kind of crazy. In the article from Buckley, he says, let's see, this is a little bit halfway through his write-up on this. He says, the Timberwolves may not be a tier one contender after the trade, but if Towns and Russell time their hot streaks just right, this club could score its way to the conference finals. I think that's insane. They would be a tier one contender after the trade. They'd have two top 20 guys. I mean, Portland just a couple of years ago was in the conference finals and they didn't have a second star. I mean, CJ McCollum was really good there for a couple of years, but he wasn't as good as Karl Anthony Towns. Certainly wasn't. I mean, even especially if Towns continues to improve defensively. So I think that's a crazy thing to say. Also, if you're not going to be a tier one contender after the trade, why would you make this trade? Because you're giving up Anthony Edwards, who has the upside of being a honestly, at this point, I think it's fair to say the upside of being a tier one star like a Lillard. He has the upside to even be better than Karl-Anthony Towns, potentially. I don't know that he gets there, but that upside is there. It's very real based on how he finished the season. So would you give that up plus last year's first round pick in Bolmaro, plus three future picks, plus your other top trade asset in Malik Beasley and his modest or reasonable, I should say, contract for the next couple of years, and then an expiring deal in Rubio? I just think that's, if you don't think, like, if you believe what Buckley's saying, that this team wouldn't be a tier one contender, then you don't make this trade, because there's no other moves you can make. You lose a ton of depth. I mean, obviously, the other thing I want to point out is you'd be keeping D'Angelo Russell, and then you have to figure out the Lillard-Russell combo. Lillard is a better defender than D'Angelo Russell, but he's not a great defender. I wouldn't even say that he's a good defender. So now you've got two minus defenders in the backcourt. You've got Towns, who at this stage is at best an average defender in the front court. And you better find a couple of really good. I mean, you got Robert Covington. He's still a good defender, but he's not a great individual defender at this stage. He's a very good team defender. If you play him at the four, your rebounding will really suffer. If you put him at the three, you still have Jaden McDaniels. So obviously this is still a tier one. I would say it would be a tier one contender. I would also say that the defense wouldn't be good, and there would be basically no depth on this team after trading both Beasley and Edwards off the wing, Rubio from guard. Russell would play the two next to Lillard. And then the other piece of this, and I mentioned it a little bit ago when I talked about Simmons, Lillard is, you know, and he should be one of the highest usage players in the league. Towns is going to get the ball a ton. What's there left for D'Angelo Russell to do? I've advocated for Russell playing off the ball more, which is why I think Simmons is such a dream fit for the Timberwolves, and also why I think the idea of Russell playing with Edwards and or Rubio makes a ton of sense, because he's a really good catch and shoot player. He's a solid cutter. I think he can play off the ball very well, but there just won't be enough shots to keep D'Angelo Russell happy or to even make him an effective contributor to the team. He's so bad defensively and doesn't contribute enough in the rebounding category or anywhere else, that if Russell's only going to get, you know, if you're going to half his shot attempts per game or knock him down to 60-65% of what he's used to, what's the point of having him on the team on a max contract? I would, for all the world, if they get Lillard, you'd have to try and get D'Angelo Russell in that deal. Because I don't think it makes any sense having both Lillard and Russell in the same backcourt. Now, Portland would, I'm sure, much rather have the combination of Edwards, Beasley, and Rubio than they would D'Angelo Russell. And perhaps that's the hangup. But if you acquire Lillard, you've got to trade D'Angelo Russell. Maybe it's in a different deal. I just don't love that fit in the backcourt. I would much rather have Beasley with Damian Lillard. I would much rather have, honestly, Rubio would still be a better fit with the team than Lillard. D'Angelo Russell if they acquired Lillard. So I wouldn't construct the trade in that same way either. Now, if Portland came to the Timberwolves, if I'm Gerson Rosas and Portland comes and says, hey, we'll do this trade, would I do the trade? I don't think that I would. I don't think that I would. As much as I, even though I just said this would make the Timberwolves a tier one contender, they lose all flexibility. They trade three of their top four trade assets in addition to three future first round picks, and you're mortgaging it all on Lillard and Towns leading a team with no depth to play enough defense to truly be a contender for not just the conference finals, but hopefully the finals. I think you would have to put the Wolves in the tier one conversation immediately, but I also think you've basically got a year or two, and if it doesn't work, you're blowing it all up all over again. As it stands now, the Wolves have plenty of years of team control of Anthony Edwards. They have all of their future first round picks, and they also have an attractive trade chip in Malik Beasley to make another move on the fringes. And if you think Edwards is already going to be your second star to Towns, then why shuffle all these pieces, or why ship them all out of town, hang on to Russell on his max deal, and bring in Damian Lillard, even if it makes you a tier one contender for a year? And again, if you don't think it makes the Timberwolves a tier one contender, as Buckley put it, then don't do it. I would at least pause and I'd think about this. But again, you look at the Wolves, you look at their best trade assets. Towns is probably still number one. Edwards would be number two, or you could flip them either way. And then your next best trade asset is Malik Beasley. And then it's got to be Leandro Bolmaro after that. and they'd all be traded in this deal. Maybe it's Jaden McDaniels. He's probably in there. So this is at least three of the top five trade assets in terms of players and not specifically picks. These draft picks aren't all that attractive either once the Wolves have both Lillard and Towns. But three draft picks plus three of the top five draft assets on the roster is a really hefty price to pay if you're not 100% sure that this team could contend for the finals. And that would be my cause for pause in this situation. This is something we'll keep monitoring, of course. I'm sure that the rumors will escalate as we get closer to the draft in terms of Lillard. And so we'll talk about it on the show. I'll talk about this with the guests I have upcoming as well. Just kind of get everybody's take on what would the Lillard fit be if this is indeed the trade that the Wolves would need to agree to. Would you do this? Would you give up three of the top five trade assets on the roster plus three first round picks to acquire Damian Lillard? But I would think long and hard about it, but ultimately say no. If this was the offer that was presented by either side in this scenario. Okay, I want to close by talking briefly about the close of the Eastern Conference Finals, peeking ahead to the finals that start this week. We're going to do all that next. Before we get to everything, all the playoff stuff, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Baseball season's in full swing. You can track it all online at BetOnline. Get all the latest news, odds, and info for your sporting needs, including MLB, NBA, NHL, and all your UFC and MMA action. Before the next pitch, head over to BetOnline on your laptop or mobile device. Check out all the great sporting news, sign-up bonuses, and contest information. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. This is your chance. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. Receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit with the promo code LOCKEDON. Again, that's promo code LOCKEDON to get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Let's also talk about rockauto.com. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com, both at home and in your pocket. You could save time and money when you use Rock Auto. Why would you spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more for the same parts from a chain store or car dealership? Rock Auto is a family business serving do-it-yourselfers for over 20 years. Their prices are reliably low for every single customer. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. All right, I want to close the show by talking about the NBA playoffs. Of course, anytime we talk about the NBA playoffs, I want to mention that it's brought to us by Michelob Ultra. It's the road to the finals. We are finally there to the finals. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. Only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. We can all enjoy the games a little bit more this season thanks to Michelob Ultra. All right, so last game of the Eastern Conference Finals, Game 6 was back on Saturday, so a couple days ago now. The Bucks, without Giannis, for the second straight game, beat the Hawks and won that game fairly easily. The Hawks showed a little bit of life late, but the Bucks won by 11, 118-107, behind 32-7 from Chris Middleton, 27-9-9, plus four steals from Jrue Holiday. Those guys combined for 13 turnovers, but they were the entirety of the offense, basically, for the Bucks. They had a few guys. They actually had five players score between 11 and 13 points, but Middleton and Holiday were the story, and rightfully so. Looking at the series as a whole, remember, the Hawks won their first game without Trae Young. They evened the series at two games apiece when Trae Young sat out. They were down 2-1 in the series. Trae was going to miss a game, and it looked like the Bucks could put this thing away quickly. But without Trae Young, the Hawks won game four, and then in game five, or that was the game in which Giannis got hurt, actually, and then he missed the rest of the series. So think how much the sky was falling for the Bucks less than a week ago. I mean, Giannis was hurt. They had lost game four, a pivotal game four. They could have gone up 3-1. Instead, it's 2-2. And even though Trae Young's out, the Hawks have just won a game without Trae Young. And it feels for all the world that the Hawks are going to seize the momentum of the series. Instead, the Bucks come out without Giannis. They win game five, which is the, in any series, the most pivotal game, generally speaking, in a close series. and take the game lead. And then on Saturday, come out without Giannis once more, figuring probably if they lose, maybe he comes back for game seven back in Milwaukee. But they hold on and they win. Trae Young comes back and plays, but is not himself. And what was his line here? He only made four shots, I believe. Yeah, 4 of 17, 0 of 6 on threes, 14 points, 9 assists, 5 turnovers for Trae Young, and obviously valiant effort playing through the bruised foot. In terms of other Hawks performances, Bogdan Bogdanovic had 20 for them. Cam Reddish led the way with 21 off the bench and was fantastic. Hit 6 threes in that game. And they had 14-9 from Capella, 13-11 from John Collins. But without Trae Young being himself and Kevin Huerter really having a disappointing series after a monster conference semifinals in round two, the Hawks just didn't quite have enough, even though the Bucks were sans Giannis. And now the attention turns to whether or not Giannis will be healthy and ready to go in time for game one of the Western Conference Finals, which is tonight. That's Tuesday night on ABC, 8 p.m. Central, Bucks and Suns. Giannis is listed as doubtful. They're saying that he's made good progress, though, so we'll see if he plays. Phoenix right now is favored, I believe, by 6 by our friends over at betonline.ag. But and of course, the series starts in Phoenix as well, so that line seems about right since Giannis is doubtful. I think if he was playing, the line's at least half that, if not less. The game again is in Phoenix, but you know, I think we'd be looking at a line of 2, 2.5, something like that. But we'll see. This to me is going to be a ton of fun, this series. And obviously this is the first finals in a decade with no Steph Curry, no LeBron James. And as a fan of basketball, obviously you want to see the best players playing. But once Giannis gets healthy, I mean, you're talking Giannis, obviously still a top 5 player in the league. Devin Booker is suddenly a top 10, 12 player in the league. Chris Paul is still a top 20 player. Middleton and Drew Holiday aren't far away. DeAndre Ayton's not far away. Obviously, there's a ton of fun talent to watch in these games. And I mean, either way, you're going to have a city that hasn't enjoyed a championship in forever, in the case of Milwaukee, 50 years, or ever in the case of Phoenix. So this is going to be a lot of fun. We'll, of course, keep talking about it. So we'll talk about game one on Wednesday's show and keep tabs on the series as we move through it. Of course, there's all the talk about Torrey Craig already having won the finals. He started the season in Milwaukee. He was traded at the deadline to Phoenix, and he's played more and had a bigger impact with the Suns than he did this year with the Bucks. But he gets a ring either way. We saw this back in, 5 years ago, I think, when Anderson Varejao was with Cleveland for most of the season and then went to the Warriors. That was the famous 3-1 season when the Cavs were down 3-1 in the series. Varejao's with the Warriors, doesn't win the ring. The Cavs offered Varejao a ring, but he didn't take it. Torrey Craig will be in that same situation this year, or I guess perhaps if the Suns win, he won't, because he'll win. He'll win outright, but he'll have the opportunity to win a ring if the Bucks win, because he was on the team until the deadline this year. So that's an interesting storyline to watch as well. Just kind of a fun storyline. And then also the other thing we'll be talking about here on the show a little bit is the Olympics. There's several Wolves players that have roles in the Olympics. We talked about that on the show last week, but now that the qualifying rounds are done, by the way, Luka Doncic got Slovenia into the Olympics, so they'll be in. And there's going to be a lot of fun stuff to talk about related to, you know, Josh Okogie with Nigeria, about Leandro Balmero, of course, with Argentina. So there's going to be several guys that have their fingerprints, Wolves players with their fingerprints on the Olympics. So we'll keep an eye on everything that happens there as well. Talk about it here on the show. All right, that's all I have for you today. Thanks once again for listening. Of course, we'll be back tomorrow on Wednesday. Talk all things finals from game one on Tuesday night. Reminder that you could follow the show, subscribe anywhere you listen to podcasts. Of course, that includes Apple as well as Google and Spotify and the all-new Odyssey app. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. And at B Beacon. It's 2 B's, 2 E's, C-K-E-N. A reminder that this show is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Of course, the Locked On Network is your experts on all the biggest stories. A reminder that today's show is brought to you by Michelob Ultra at only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. That's all we have for today. Thanks once again for listening. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast. I'm Ben Beacon, and we'll catch you next time. Starting July 19th, that's next week, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from the GOAT of NBA mock drafts, the fantastic Chad Ford, and Odyssey NBA experts Brian Scalabrine and former general manager Ryan McDonough, our Locked On NBA local experts, will make selections and trades for your favorite basketball teams throughout this week-long special event. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the brand new Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's Odyssey, A-U-D-A-C-Y.